Hello and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place that Gash Custom Pikachu, we don't evolve. We just level up here with Meme, the Talk, Peacemaker, DCU, a little bit of Twisted Metal, maybe a little bit of One Piece. We will see. Maybe a little bit of the Bleak, but mostly Peacemaker, DCU. Hello, Meme.
Hello.
I think this is the first time I didn't refer to you by your actual name.
Maybe.
So I'm working on it.
Yeah. It's getting there.
Yes, it is. All right, so Peacemaker. We have not talked Peacemaker since we've been on the show for quite some time. I know we talked about it initially when it came out, like years before we even did Don't Evolve Me. But I know that we talked about it a little bit on the show. Peacemaker is out. We did Superman together. How are we feeling about the first half of Peacemaker season 2?
I'm enjoying it and excited for the next episode. I think that is all you can really ask for, right?
I think so, yeah. Actually, you know what? I already messed up what I was going to do. First thing we actually have to talk about, the big issue. The issue that was like the number one question for everybody. Does the title sequence slap the same as season 1?
You know... My outright instinct is I want to say no, it does not.
I feel like that's everyone's.
However, I do think that maybe there's some weird bias going on, right? Because, like, everyone ended up, like, loving the first one so much.
Mm-hmm.
And the song was so iconic that I think it was kind of doomed to not be as iconic. It's like trying to repeat something that, like, lightning, you know, it doesn't strike twice kind of thing.
I've had thoughts on this for a while. So I remember the first title sequence, and I remember me and you talking about it, and we're just, like, the first couple episodes, we're just kind of like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. Like, what are they doing? This is weird. We kind of liked it. It was like, I like it. The song's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, is this every episode? And it was. And by, like, the fifth or sixth episode, it was like, all right, this is dope.
Yep. Skipped it.
Do you really want to taste it? Like... It became something that we enjoyed, and we were like, yeah, like, we wanted more shows to have a title sequence. So, like, once season 2 came up,
yeah, something gets you hyped.
We're like, oh, they're doing another title sequence? It's a different song? It's not the same. It was never going to be the same. And I don't think if it was the same, they should have just done the same thing with, like, an added version of characters. They didn't do the same thing. They did something different that was, like, the same style. And... I will say the first time I heard it, and I remember listening to the song before watching the title sequence and being like, this is an interesting choice. It slaps, but in a completely different way. Watching the title sequence, it slaps, but in a completely different way. So I'm not, like, I watched all these, like, different TikTokers or YouTubers, like, doing their reaction in real time. They're just like, oh, it's not the same. It's not the same. It's like, if you expect it to be the same, then you're going to be disappointed. And for me, after, like, the second or third episode, I started, like, digging it a lot more. And that's the song that's just stuck in my head. It's different. It's not, you know, Wigwam. It's not Do You Want to Taste It? But it's a completely different song. It points, like, love is, like, change. The focus. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a vibe change, but it slaps in that style. And I'm enjoying it for that reason.
I also saw today that apparently, I don't know if I really noticed, but the episode intros are, like, slightly different, like, for every episode. Like, the dances and stuff, yeah.
Oh.
Like, I guess the last one didn't have Michael Rooker in it or had, like, a different spot for him in it.
Oh, okay.
Like, the last episode and stuff like that. So I guess there is little differences in them that I didn't notice. But I read that today. Might have to look back.
Okay. I'm going to have to rewatch each one of them to see, like, the little bit of differences. I like... hearing James Gunn and John Cena talk about the title sequence, because they're talking about, like, who's the worst dancers. And last time it was the guy who played Peacemaker's dad. Like, he was the worst dancer, and he just like just Jimmy one move, and it was a little hip thrust, and it was like, perfect, that's it. But I like how they're just like, yeah, Frank Grillo and Michael Rooker suck at this. Like, they struggled so much. And I remember just like, I will just watch Frank Grillo, and he is so awkward throughout the entire thing.
I'll have to keep my eye on that one next time.
And he's wearing a shirt that's, like, way too short for him. So, like, you have him and, like, LeBeo on, like, two opposites, the opposite sides. They're both showing off their stomach.
You mean Adebayo?
Yeah. My bad.
It's okay.
But like she's wearing a crop top, so she's showing off her stomach, and like Frank Grillo's on the other side, who like, and you see his stomach, and you're like, okay, that's not a crop top. His t-shirt's just too tight. He's awkwardly moving the entire time. So I don't know. Like I enjoy it. There's other things that like other feelings I have for it, where it's like knowing that Harcourt, and like the lady who plays her, I always forget her name, and I
had it in my head till you said something.
Jennifer Holland. So yeah, the fact that like it seems like it's so weird. Like, how would you feel if you had a wife and like you were a director, and you're gonna take your wife and have like another main character who's, you know, in a sense really attractive, at least in like the male glaze sense, and then have him just like, you know, have his like hands, like it's just like a weird, like this is weird when you think of it through that lens.
You know, well, maybe we're just kink shaming a little bit. Maybe he's just a bit of a cuck, you know.
Maybe. No shame.
Yeah, no shame.
No shame, but it is like a thought. I'm like, man, this is okay. I don't know like how I would do that as a director if my wife was an actress and like she was the main like female protagonist or one of the main female protagonists, but it's like a love interest to like the, I don't know. It's an interesting parallel.
Well, as long as she doesn't like leave him for John Cena or something, I think it'll be
okay. That would be a twist.
That would probably be like the end of the DCU as we know it.
You know what's even like bigger though? His ex-wife is plays Pam on The Office.
James Gunn was married to her.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Jenna Fisher. Yeah,
Fisher. Yep.
Yep. Yep. And you know who plays Keef?
Yeah,
the guy who is the ex-boyfriend of Pam on The Office plays Keef.
Okay. Okay, I didn't realize that.
Isn't that like, yeah. I know that guy from somewhere, and then I'm like, oh, that's the connection. James, what are you doing here, man?
It's weird.
Like it's
web
it's,
of love.
It's odd. I'm enjoying it though. How do you feel about like James Gunn, his whole usage of people he likes in multiple roles?
I got absolutely no problem with it. I think being more fluid with like actors and stuff like that is absolutely fine, and I got no problem with it. I think it makes things more able to be continued, and it kind of, I mean, just like comic books change writers,
yep,
and stuff like that. You know, why can't these characters change actors? Yeah,
it's hard when they change writers, because especially when you're following a story, and it's like that's not how he was. It's like, okay, it doesn't matter. It's a new story.
Mm.
I will say that is hard from a comic perspective, but.
Well, it's definitely less of a change, I think, changing the actor than changing a whole like writer of a thing. But
I have no problem with James Gunn using people he's familiar with. To me, it makes sense. Like, if I was a director, I would want my friends in the roles. You know, as long as like they can do the role and they can handle like the tasks being presented. Like, I think like Sean Gunn, his brother, he handles pretty much every role thrown his way. Michael Rooker.
Yeah,
Nathan Fillion, like all these people add flair to like these little roles that they do. I think my only point of contention is like it is confusing when you're like, hey, that actor plays this other character and there is some similarities, especially for Michael Rooker and Nathan Fillion, because they were in the Suicide Squad, which is still like half and half in the DCU and not in the DCU. So it's like, okay, is Nathan Fillion also TDK, who's dead now?
Yeah, is that a thing? Yeah,
I know. But like, that's like where the question is, like, is this character still canon? There's those questions. But I'm like, it's a small, pettier problem that I'm not too focused on. But I mean, that is some contention I have.
That is something that like I am more than willing to suspend my disbelief for. Like, that doesn't bother me at all. Like, I actually kind of like it, because you get, I don't know, just because like when you get character actors like Michael Rooker and Nathan Fillion, I want them to be able to play like those fun characters that you just see for a little bit, but aren't like main staples, so they can keep coming back. So instead of just like blowing the load on Michael Rooker playing this eagle hunter, which is awesome, and then never seeing him again, then I would much rather get a bunch of bit parts and stuff like that.
He has three different roles so far, Michael Rooker does. He has the Nazi from Creatures Commandos that gets blown up by GRA Robot, deservedly so. You have now the Eagle Hunter, Native American or cultural appropriation Native American. I'm confused. I'm like, are you supposed to be white or are you actually Native American?
No, I think he's supposed to be white. I think that's the point.
It makes sense. And then, of course, he was not Savant. Yes.
Yep.
I'm willing to, but I think there is a point where I'm like, okay, if you keep using the same guy, it gets there. There is a point of like, okay, it's a little confusing. But I don't know if he's really crossed that point for me at all.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I'm not really worried about that aspect. I actually enjoy that aspect and kind of look forward to seeing some of these people that, you know, like Alan Tudyk. I mean, he's got like
I was going to mention
three or four roles in the DCU already now, if you count voices. And I'm perfectly fine with that. I love Alan Tudyk, and I think he's a great voice actor, especially.
Yes.
So.
All right, so season one. I recently watched it. I would say I watched it in July. We're recording this in September. You watched it, I know, relatively
within the last year.
Yeah. Here's my okay. So I remember when I reviewed it and we were talking about it. I gave it like I thought it was like a four. I thought it was a great show, but it wasn't like, you know, close to elite. I am after rewatching it. It is very close. This is one of James Gunn's better projects. Like, this show is relatively, really, really good.
It's tight. It's all together in one show.
Yep.
Which is nice. Like, you don't feel like you need all this background information and everything. You get a really good story from start to finish. The characters are great. Yeah, I would agree with that. I definitely 4+.
Like, I love the idea of, like, yeah, you have a... Like, I just like the character of Peacemaker, and like, I love how John Cena plays him. Like, he plays him, like, he's very relatable, but he's still like a dipshit. He's still like, he's still a villain in the very sense of the word, but like, he's not like, I think of Wreck-It Ralph. He's a bad guy, but he's not a bad guy. And I love just the nuance that is played with him. Like, yeah, he kills on question, like, he quills in the moment, but then there's that question of like, I don't want to kill a family. I don't care if they're infected by bugs. I don't want to kill kids. Like, I don't want to remember killing my brother, which is,
and he's got a morals still. Like, he's a conflicted guy.
I think the reason why season one is really, really good, and why James Gunn just does amazing here, is he's so great at character work. Like, the character work is like front and foremost. The plot, I forgot what the plot was, which is saving the world, but like it was a small, hey, there's this alien
race. It was like the driving force, not necessarily like the whole point of the show. It's kind of what kept the plot moving, basically, but it wasn't like the focus. It was a character driven story for sure,
which is where I want to segue to this season. Because this season I think is just as good, but I don't have any fucking clue what this season's about.
Yeah, I know. We're four episodes in and
we're like, what's the plot here? The plot is just like a continuation of like events from season one, which is awesome. But it's this like continuation, like it's just moving the characters forward.
I'm assuming things are going to hit the fan here in the next couple episodes and some crazy stuff's going to happen. Had to have gone somewhere.
James Gunn has said that his favorite episode, which is not an episode he directed, is episode 7. He says 6, 7, and 8 is like his favorite run of writing he's ever done. And I'm excited for it, because if he says it's good, I'm going to assume it's fucking amazing. On top of the fact that everyone assumes there's going to be cameos, which we'll talk about in a little bit of who we think those cameos could be.
See, we live in a world where we actually could get David Cornsweet.
Yeah, I was thinking that
the Peacemaker show, unlike when it was Henry Cavill and like super famous and all this other stuff, it was so unlikely. But now we're in a world where that stuff can actually happen, you know. And I like that.
How funny would it be if like he's just all Boy Scouty and John Cena's Peacemaker is just cussing him out like a storm? He's just like, oh golly, can you just like stop language?
Yeah, that's what I want.
But no, I'm enjoying the season just because, Let's get into season two a little bit. The four episodes, we're four episodes in. So we have The Ties That Grind for episode one. A Man Is Only As Good As His Bird is episode two. Another Rick Up My Sleeve, episode three. And Need I Say Door for episode four. I think the last episode was probably the worst one, but I still enjoyed it a lot.
It might have been like the worst episode, but it had some of my favorite moments in the whole show so far.
Economos just like ripping up everybody. It's like, who's this guy? Like, you know fucking exactly who I am if you read my dossier. Yeah, I have social disorder. Yeah. I don't go so good with people.
Yeah.
But I am worth
literally paid to deal with me, to deal with my shit.
Dude, I love when they're like, oh, this isn't your job. This isn't your business. I like the school that I work at. Kids are like, it's not your business. I'm like, no, it's literally my business to do this. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm literally paid to bother you and make sure you're doing your job. Like, that's. Mm-hmm. But I love that moment for him. Just him just mouthing off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have a lot of things happening. One, we have the door. The door to the inner dimension.
99 doorways.
I think everyone assumed, and I love that Emma Bio like mentioned this. I just assume your dad was a super genius.
Yeah. You see, I always thought that was something that never made sense to me.
It didn't make sense.
I'm glad that they kind of explained it, because he did not strike me as a super genius that could do all this stuff, especially with like no money.
Yeah. He found a door by killing an alien, just not even like talking to it, just killing it immediately. It stole the door somehow. Actually, Chris did it.
Yeah. Chris and Keith.
Yep, they did it together. They pressed buttons and boom, the door.
Somehow figured it out. Yeah, looking at how he moves the door later, how the hell would you figure that out?
You just do sure things. And you just... It seems simple enough. All the bees have to go in the middle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I probably would have done the same. Like, that's all you gotta do. You gotta move the beads in and boom, doorway. But you're gonna want to run. Why? You're just gonna want to run.
Mm-hmm.
No, I really like that they did that story. But another thing I want to mention too is both I forget the dad's name. What is his name? So we can just call him by that. Augie Smith.
Augie. Yep.
So Augie, Blue Dragon, Red Dragon, they both found this door. So I assume in both universes, this is how they found the door. Is through an alien. Now, in this door, there's another alien species that comes through a door, burns their rats or their version of rats, never says hi, and then walks away. He's in the title sequence. He's going to be something.
Some more explanation of what this actually is, yeah.
I love the theory that it's Martian Manhunter.
I don't know if Martian Manhunter would want to burn things.
True, true. That is his general weakness.
Mm.
I know that was just a theory. Like, oh, it's one of the Martians. I'm like, maybe. It would be an alien that makes sense. But yeah, they are against fire. So maybe that's why they do it there, because they are a weakness. Maybe it's not Martian Manhunter. It's just a Martian. That has the shitty job of burning things.
But isn't Martian Manhunter's whole thing that all the green Martians are dead except for him, just like every other hero?
I think it depends on the comic book.
Okay.
I guess like Young Justice is probably my main version of like because they're both alive in that version.
Yeah.
So I think it depends.
But I think they're also like the last two in that version.
No, it could be.
Yeah.
I think it depends. There and, is like
no, a doesn't, whole it, s- doesn't it turn out that Miss Martian is actually a gray Martian anyways?
Yeah, white Martian.
White Martian, not even a green Martian?
Yeah, the green Martians are all there. They have a whole society of Young Justice, and then white Martians are cast it out.
Oh, so it's like the opposite. Because I thought it was the other way in the comics.
Yeah.
That the green Martians got murdered and the white Martians took over. They were the bad guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
getting off topic.
Yes, a little bit. So like this whole thing is about the door. It's about the different dimension. And then in the first episode, he finds out that there is a whole different dimension that he walks into, and he calls it the best dimension ever, because in this dimension, he's a hero. His brother's still alive. His dad loves him. His dad's a hero. And, you know, Jennifer Holland's Harcourt wants to be with him, even though she's with Rick Flagg, which is a big revelation. that came out this season that Harcourt dated Rick Flag.
Yeah, right. But it was dating him right when he went to off to die.
Yeah.
Peacemaker killed him, and then she ends up working with Peacemaker.
And then liking him, and something happened on a boat that we don't know about yet. I assume. And then that's kind of the big revelation, was she dated Rick Flag. And then, of course, Rick Flag Sr. is now being Argus. He very much wants to watch Peacemaker, has looking for any excuse to throw him in jail or give him any punishment, which hence the door. The reason why they're really big on this door is because, Metropolis, Superman. So it's kind of, it's a weird sequel, but it's like a sequel non-sequel.
It is, yeah. It's a weird place, but I'm here for it.
So it's basically just that's the story so far. They're watching him go through the store. He's finding this different universe. He kills himself because that version of him tries to kill him. He defends himself, kills himself, and then kind of takes his place.
Real quick before I forget, did you notice that during that flashback with Rick Flag and Harcourt that he mentions the first Suicide Squad movie?
Oh, yeah.
He talks about dating the Enchantress.
Yes.
That he was dating her still. So that first Suicide Squad movie is also canon to some extent.
To some extent, universe. Yes.
Yeah, obviously not the whole thing, but I found that funny.
James Gunn did say, the Suicide Squad, and I assume the first Suicide Squad, it's, loosely canon. Some stuff happened, but it's more like a hay fever dream type of thing. Not everything specific. Starro was a thing, but it wasn't specifically, that's not how it exactly happened.
Do you think we get Margot Robbie back in the DCU as Harley Quinn?
I'm debating whether or not I want her or I want a different version.
I feel like that's the one character that could move through and stay the same actor without anyone complaining about it.
I would say other than age, I don't know how old she is, but other than age, I think I would want someone.
Don't disrespect Margot Robbie that.
No, she's great. She's great. I'm just, my whole viewpoint is I love James Gunn casting. So when anyone's just like, oh, I want Stephen Amell as Green Arrow, I want Grant Gustin, I'm respectfully, fuck no. I want James Gunn to not give people their jobs back. I want him to find a new version that's going to be great, because his casting is usually pretty good. And if it's not comic book accurate, it's a really good version of that character that's almost better than the original. Hence Star-Lord. DC or MCU Star-Lord is more interesting than comic book Star-Lord.
Oh yeah.
And that's not even to disrespect him. I think it's a more interesting version of the character. More personality, more flair. So I don't know. Other things that are happening in the show. Let's talk about the other universe.
Yes.
You have theories, I'm assuming, about this universe, right?
Yeah. Probably the same theory that you think.
You go on and I'll fill in.
Okay. Well, there's been a noticeable lack of any other people in the universe besides white people.
Yep.
And it would kind of make sense if the racist crew is the biggest heroes, that maybe it's a world where either they don't exist or something else already happened and they took over.
Yeah.
And that is my prevailing theory, which kind of tracks with everything. And then he's going to be like, oh, I guess this universe kind of sucks.
That's the theory that I heard, that this is Earth X, which is the universe where Nazis won. Okay. And I think it makes sense. It really makes sense. Because, of course, from his perspective, it's the greatest universe ever. He probably doesn't realize. He never realized it. It's all white people. And as two white gentlemen who are from, rural America, it is very common to not have any people of color in events in rural America. This is normal. So, going into a dimension with no people of minorities isn't necessarily uncommon for white folk who live in rural America. I don't remember where Peacemaker is in the world, but it comes across as more rural.
I think for some reason Illinois is coming to my mind.
Is it Illinois?
But I don't know if that's right.
I don't know either, and I would like to look it up, but we can. But Augie, for example, Red Dragon, Blood Dragon, you have to be somewhere rural to essentially have that cult following that he has, or at least Red Dragon. So anyway, point remains, like, it's Earth X seems like the likely theory.
Washington. Yep.
Interesting. I'm guessing Eastern Washington then.
Like, not by the coast.
What's the place called?
It says Evergreen, Washington, wherever the hell that is.
I don't know. Probably some. Wait. Oh, that would be okay. So they mentioned Green Arrow in season one. If they are in Washington, Green, like, Star City is, I think, canonically West Coast.
Okay. Is it Upper West Coast?
I always got the sense of, like, Seattle is often known as, like, Star City. So
okay. So maybe it's up there someplace. It's closer to Star City.
All right, Evan. So let's go to cameos then. Let's segue there.
Okay.
So James Gunn has been talking about cameos, or like, not like that people can come up in this season. We already got Green Lantern. We already got Hawkgirl.
Mm.
It sounds like something big is happening. I don't want to overhype it, but what?
Mephisto?
Mephisto, damn it.
Should have known.
What's the DC to Mephisto? Is it just the devil himself?
Yeah, there's not.
It's Hades, really, guys. It's Hades.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, there's, like, the one below all or whatever, but that's, like, or no. Yeah, right? There's one of those in DC.
It's the Antimatter. It's a little confusing.
Yeah.
So, Antimatter actually really makes sense here.
Yeah.
Okay, so cameos that I've heard. Batman. He did technically make a silhouette cameo. That's like the biggest one, is they casted Batman, or it's Robert Pattinson Batman, and he's gonna make an appearance here. I think Superman or Supergirl would make sense, especially since the show keeps talking about it being a, you know, a sequel or a leadway to the next movie that we'll talk about, Man of Tomorrow. It makes sense to me, but it feels underwhelming. Like, yeah, I would love it. I would enjoy it. But it's like, if you're, it feels underwhelming. Lobo is another one. Mr. Terrific could be one as well. Wonder Woman as well. Or anyone from Creatures Commandos.
Yeah.
Who else could we expect to pop up here? Green Arrow?
Maybe. But I mean, like, I guess my question would be, who would actually, like, matter to show up in this story?
Ooh.
Because, like, Green Arrow or Batman or something, like, yeah, they could just, like, show up, but wouldn't really, like, have anything to do with the plot that we know so far. That's a good point. Interdimension hopping, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe Mr. Terrific, since he's got more experience with these portals and stuff like that.
Maybe Lex Luthor could be, potentially.
Yeah, that would be a little confusing.
Would it, though?
I mean, he just got arrested at the end of Superman, didn't he?
Yeah. But, like, it's just jail in comic books.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean,
he's also
a
rich guy.
If they just let him out in the Peacemaker show in between Superman movies, that'd be pretty lame, though, wouldn't it?
Depends. Like, if James Gunn said we're going to do that, I'd be like, all right.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, but I don't think so. Maybe like them talking to him in prison or something like that, like Rick Flagg or something like that, trying to get some information from him about portals and stuff like that. I could see that.
I'm trying to just think who would... It's Jared Leto, Joker. He's back.
Oh, thank God. That's what we've all been waiting for.
Honestly, that is a possibility in this world. It is.
Yeah.
Will Smith, Deadshot, he could be back too. Oh, God. Bloodsport's another one that actually makes sense for this show.
Yeah, yeah. What characters from... I mean, what if Harley Quinn comes back and they know each other?
True. Well, I think Bloodsport would be an interesting one in the sense of like...
Like an antagonist, kind of.
Yeah.
Peacemaker.
Well, like he could show up in World 3 or like World X, Earth X. he could show up as like one of the Sons of Liberties, like one of the warriors for them. I think that would make sense in the context of it. And I wouldn't be surprised if they replayed out the Suicide Squad in a sense, where one character kills the other, or maybe Red Flag kills
Peacemaker.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you think he dies at the end of the season?
No, I think they're having too much fun.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting in a way to just kind of like close the chapter for a little bit instead of just leaving it hanging open.
Yeah, I think it just follows the question of like, who's the cameo? Because what's the story? We don't know. Mm. Is this? I get the sense that Earth X and that Earth is going to fight in some respect.
Mm.
Because of like the title sequence, we get the three, you know, we get the Blue Dragon, we get that version of Harcourt, and then we have Keith and whatever his name is. So I wouldn't be surprised if like they're involved. I just don't know what's the larger issue. Maybe it is a universal collapse because of the door.
Mm.
What do you think becomes? Do you think Eagly survives?
Better.
I agree.
Yeah, can't kill an eagle.
Can we talk about episode 2 how he just took out everybody?
Yeah. Goddamn duck. He told me there was a duck in there. That was no duck. Yeah. I have no idea how big it is.
You know,
I feel like I saw that joke someplace before this show, the whole like idea of being bird blind.
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from. But to see it taken to such an extreme like this is so funny. I think it was like a joke on Reddit or something about somebody like not dating a girl because she couldn't tell the difference between a duck and a swan or something like that. And like,
I just want to know, that's what reminds me of. Is this real? Is this like a real deficiency that people have?
I guess in this sense,
if a bird's attacking you and you have this deficiency. But I'm also just like, why the fuck would you send this? Like, are people not reading dossiers?
Oh, yeah, right.
Like, why is this? Why
is that? Or nobody just believes him, right? Because, like, how ridiculous of a thing. Like, no way. Come on, guy. What do you mean?
It's my only weakness.
Eagly kicked their ass.
They did. I was good. I mean, good Eagly. As you know, I play, like, a part ranger or a half ranger for D&D. So, like, I just like had that connection of Eagly, like, good beast, you know, partner. Most beast partners in D&D would die in that scenario. Eagly, no, he's gonna rip your fucking eyeball out.
Yeah.
Also, are eagles that strong, or is Eagly like a super eagle?
I mean, maybe Michael Rooker thinks so.
the primal.
Yeah.
I do love how Economos was like kind of just like, no, there was a second eagle that attacked you. There's a second. Eagles don't do that. Oh my God, I'm dealing with the primal eagle. This is my life purpose to take him out.
I think it's going to turn out that Eagly probably is whatever he thinks it is. I hope so. I think that's what's going to be.
What if Eagly is like an alien or something?
Yeah. No, I think he's just a magic bird. I mean, like, they kind of confirmed that whatever weird magic stuff he was using was real. Because he found out where their cabin was.
Yeah, he was able to, astral projection.
Yeah, so there's some truth to what he's saying. So I think maybe there's a chance that Eagly is the spirit eagle.
The primal eagle.
Yeah.
I like it. I have a funny story with the bird blindness. Because ever since that episode, Maven calls everything a fucking duck.
Oh God.
She didn't she didn't watch this episode with us by any means, but she calls everything a duck. She's like, Oh, it's a duck. And I'm like, God, our daughter has bird blindness. So that's like a running joke in her family, because she'll just call, like, there was like a little a bird that was like this tall that was running around yesterday. It's like, oh, it's ducks. I'm like, that's not a duck, baby girl. That's just birds. Not every bird's a duck.
Oh no, I'm sorry, guy.
she might have the bird blindness. We'll see. I will never put her in a scenario where she has to fight an eagle. Just saying. Is Argus?
I don't think
incompetent?
Anyone's ever in that scenario.
But
Argus incompetent? It seems to be a little bit. I mean, especially when you got somebody like Tim Meadows' character, like as a, some sort of a higher up. This is my theory on it, I guess, is that it's a job that like can only be done by crazy people for the most part. Mm-hmm. Because of what they're asking and what they want people to do. So those are the people they get, and they just have to kind of work with them.
You mean like women with masculinity issues?
Yeah. I mean, crazy is a bad word, but you know what I mean.
I really love that. Like, you have male masculinity.
Toxic masculinity, yeah.
And like, the funny thing is, it's like, it's legitimately a thing, like with her character. And I love that they're playing it out that she's just like this woman who has the same issues as like males in that situation. I'm like, that's interesting. That's a fun, twist for that character.
Mm-hmm.
Just beating up random guys in the back alley.
Bar fights, yeah.
Yeah. So I like her turn. I like how they're making her not weak, but like weak in the male sense. You know, weak in the, she can't handle her emotions, especially since, like, if, you know, she's dating her ex-boyfriend's murderer.
Yeah.
And, like, it's kind of not dating, but, like, you're having a thing, you're having emotions towards this person. Like, that's a fucked up place to be in, especially since, like, Waller burned her.
Left her cold.
Let's talk about Waller a little bit, because there was a... James Gunn, and I think the actor behind John Economos, and I forget who else. They were talking about Joel Kinnaman.
Mm.
Those three were just talking about how, like, they never talked about why Rick Flagg was on that mission. Like, Amanda Waller sent Rick Flagg Jr. to die. They don't bring it up. But there was actually a post, there was a scrap scene in the movie where Joel Kinnaman made fun of Amanda Waller's shirt. Like, she walked in and he's like, what are you fucking wearing? You know, just like dissed her. And because Amanda Waller is so petty, he sent him to die. And that's why he was on that mission, because he made fun of her shirt. And they just laughed. They're like, well, that wasn't like officially canon. Like, that was like... But, like, we're making that canon now. That happened. He dissed the shirt, and that's why he got sent to die.
Yeah, got sent on a suicide mission.
Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know. I think it's just, I like the play with feelings. And, like, she's failing to emotionally process everything and process those feelings. And this is how, like, a toxic man with, like, toxic masculinity issues would handle it. And I like that twist. It's fun to see play out.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question is, where does this come to, right? Obviously, Abio and Peacemaker are in the door. They're probably going to Earth X or that other dimension, and
shit's
going to
hit the fan.
I'm excited for that episode.
Mm. This Thursday, right. Probably.
Yeah, it is. All right, last little bit, and we'll wrap up Peacemaker and DCU. How does this set up for the sequel of Man of Tomorrow, which was announced
just recently
as a team-up film between Lex Luthor and Superman. And also, thing to note, this movie was pitched 7 years ago. The Man of Tomorrow movie, the Lex Luthor movie was pitched. And you know, I know who pitched it, Brandon?
James Gunn?
No. Dan Harmon.
Okay.
Yeah, him and another writer, I don't remember his name, pitched Man of Tomorrow. For those who don't know Dan Harmon, I would say I'm a pretty big fan. I'm assuming you're a pretty big fan. Mm. He wrote Community. He wrote Rick and Morty. Just one of those guys that, like, if he makes something, I'm interested, because his concepts are crazy. He just never really, like, delivered it on a big platform outside. Like, Rick and Morty is probably the biggest he's gotten.
Yeah, I mean, they did some pretty crazy stuff on Community.
No, he did. Like, I fucking love Community. It's my favorite show. It's just, I don't think it's ever gotten to the fame area where any casual fan who's watching this would be like, I know who Dan Harmon is. Community, Rick and Morty.
Adventure Quest? Is that what it's called? Quest.
Yes. The
Harmon Quest. His name is in the title.
Wasn't it like his D&D show?
Yeah.
Animated. It was like his D&D show before it became popular with, like, Critical Role.
Yeah. 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 like random famous cameos and stuff like that. People came on every week and played a character for an episode, and then they always got killed off at the end. Yeah, it was good. That's a funny show.
I gotta watch it. I never actually did, even though I'm a big fan of Dan.
Oh, you should watch it now, especially with your D&D. Like, it's a great way, a great like representation of like visual D&D.
I will.
Although it is technically not D&D, they're not playing D&D. They're playing a different generic game system that they made up that's very similar to D&D, but it's not D&D because you have to pay copyright to play D&D.
Right. My bad. All right, so how does it set up for the sequel, and how does Man of Tomorrow is a thing? Because we watch Superman, it seems like Lex Luthor is going to be in his suits that's similar to like the Hammer of Bolivia suit.
Mm. That did look very much like a Lex.
It did.
Power armor.
Same with like, you know, the Lex, the guys in the suit before too. It looked like he's going to get his super suit. It's been more or less confirmed. The bigger threats, I'm guessing it's either Brainiac seems like the likeliest. Mongol also seems up there. Maybe General Zod. Maybe I'm guessing, but like Darkseid is another one. I'm like, okay, I could see it, but I'm like, how does this show set it up?
Right. That is the big question, because I mean they said that before, that the show is kind of teasing the direction of the DCU going forward.
Are we getting like an Earth 3, maybe?
Like
Ultraman? Owlman?
I mean,
that's what makes sense to me.
Yeah. But... yeah, I really don't know what they're
doing
with all this. Like, there's so many, like, the fact that we already have, like, multiverse stuff, like, baked in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, immediately I start thinking, like, Crisis, but that doesn't make any sense.
I also just, it feels like, it doesn't feel like a James Gunn move to go immediately heavy into the multiverse, like right after Marvel failed it, unless he's like, I can do it better, which I think he is doing it really, really well.
Maybe the plan is to like tie up all of this multiverse stuff like right away. Like they go into like a Crisis style story that just kind of recombines everything into one Earth and like gets rid of the multiverse for the time being.
Maybe. I feel like multiverse is a thing, but it's not like a thing, if that makes sense. Like in MCU, it's like the thing right now, and I think everyone's kind of sick of it.
Mm.
Whereas I think in the DCU, it's not. It's a thing. It's a tool. It's a thing that happens in the universe because that's what happens in comic books. But the story isn't going to be about the multiverse. Okay. It's just going to be an aspect, like Rick and Morty. Has that aspect. They can do a bunch of things, but it's not like the thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, kind of.
It's very vague. I don't know. I just, like, even with this season, I don't think the multiverse is like the big aspect about it. It's the characters. It moves the characters.
Yeah, but it is like the driving force behind all that. Like him going to the other dimension. Like, I mean, if he never went to the other dimension, then what would he be doing right now?
True. I think the driving force, I would say, is that he has the device itself rather than the device being, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know how this sets it up, because I don't know what Man of Tomorrow is, unless it's like some version of Brainiac, but I don't see the setup, unless it's like the loose setup of it. Like, you know, Rick Flagg Sr. seems like he's going to be a really big part of the DCU. He's like the Nick Fury, the connective tissue.
Mm.
I also think, how do you feel about Rick Flagg Sr.?
Feels a little petty this season.
He does.
Like, I get that his son, obviously that's a pretty big deal. But compared to like Creature Commandos, like he was much more of like a hero, I feel like. And now he's kind of gone down this other path, much more Waller-esque.
Yeah.
Which maybe is just to fit the story better, and you know, maybe he's just going through some stuff. But I kind of prefer the more upright Rick Flagg than it's like petty.
He also doesn't have the gray hair look.
Yeah, that too. That also is a little weird. Like, why did they?
It's because it's because he had other obligations and he couldn't change his look for the video that he was in. And like James Gunn was like, yeah, that's it. Like that just happens sometimes in Hollywood. You can't change the look. And it's like,
You couldn't throw CGI. A wig on him.
You couldn't like CGI it.
You couldn't throw a wig on him. Wigs have gotten pretty good these days.
Yeah, they have. I don't know. It's one of those things like I'm fine with it for now, but also like I liked his look in Creatures Commandos because it's such a distinct look.
Yeah, it definitely does feel like they're two different characters still. It doesn't really feel
like he looks like character. Crossbones to me.
Yeah,
like it's Frank Grillo. Yeah, I'm like, it just reminds me of his MCU counterpoint, not the DCU version, but it's fine.
Maybe they set him up a little bit by making Rick Flagg Sr. so jacked in Creature Commandos.
Maybe.
Yeah, he was huge.
I also...
Not that Grillo's not in great shape, I'm sure, but...
I also think it's interesting that Joel Kinnaman and Frank Grillo are like father-son. Like, they are... there is like a 10... There's like a decade age difference, so it's not too far to believe, but like Joel Kinnaman's not young.
No, yeah. It looks more like they could be like brothers than father and son.
Or like, you know, maybe Frank Grillo had him like when he was 15 or something.
Or like 10.
Maybe. It was just like a weird casting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see it, but sure, it suspends the belief a little bit. You don't know. But yeah,
I like Frank Grillo, but yeah, I think maybe if they would have, even if they just would have hit him with like the hair or something to make him look a little older and more,
or just the suit
difference,
same suit. Mm-hmm. Where's the yellow, man?
Right.
Do you think Creatures Commandos comes in play here, like at all?
I feel like at least like in some point it should. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that was what was setting up. Like what's to come in the DCU, and then we were going to see much more of it in Peacemaker, and so far
like
none of the like Themyscira storyline and stuff is
let's put the pieces together, right? So they had the huge like vision of essentially what they did in Age of Ultron, right? Something's coming, the heroes are defeated, and like I can see it. We have to kill this like this army takes them out, and that's the threat, right? And they are pretty crazy powerful, but they always felt like there was something more.
Yeah.
Now we have Superman with the idea of dimensions and portals. Imps have been talked about a crazy amount of times, as well as season two is dealing with talking imps. We were talking with the doors. So I'm just like, what's the threat here? What's the gods and monster big? I know we originally said Injustice, not Injustice, but the League of Doom.
Yep.
Which still is on the table, but I'm like, what's the bigger threat here?
We haven't really gotten a lot of villains in the DCU yet. I mean, Lex really Luther. Just like Lex Luthor.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah. But they're all kind of, you know, half villains.
Right. Peacemaker.
Yeah. Also like a half villain.
Red Dragon.
Yeah. It's a villain, but a pretty weak villain.
We have an anti-hero vigilante.
Yeah. He thinks he's a hero.
He's like borderline. Also, I don't know if I could hang out with Vigilante.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, if I play this wrong, he could just murder me, and he would have no remorse.
But it's probably better to have somebody like that on your good side, right?
Well, yeah, you would rather have him as a friend than an enemy. But like, you have John Economos, like he's like texting, like, "Hey, let's hang out, let's talk." It's like, I don't know if I would want to have a relationship with that dude, simply just because he could kill me.
That is one thing that I feel like has been missing so far this season is.
Vigilante killing a bunch of random people?
Yeah, or just Vigilante being Vigilante. I mean, we've had some, like, the jokes and stuff like that.
He did.
But just, like, the overall action of this season, I think, has been lacking a little bit. We had, like, the Eagly fight and then one fight with John Cena. That was really awesome.
The Eagly fight was, like,
Yeah, and when Peacemaker stops that bombing on Earth X, that was really cool, too.
Just murders everybody and they all cheer for him. It's like...
Yeah.
Weird Earth X.
So I enjoy that. I hope that things pick up a little bit and we start getting some more of the action, because I really feel like obviously the story is great and everything, but even like with the first Peacemaker, like the action and stuff like that is what really kept it exciting.
James Gunn said it's going to be great. That is his best. So
I mean,
I believe him.
Yeah.
I believe it's coming.
Wrong yet?
Yes, true, true, true. Anything else on Peacemaker that we should talk about? Anything we're missing?
Oh, not that I can think of right this second.
I can't. Etta Bio, we didn't really talk about her and her role. She's like best friends with Chris.
Yeah.
She's trying to find it. She's
trying
she's
to start like, her own business. Struggling with her relationship.
Do you find her legitimate? Because she's often like a manipulator. And that was like the talk before season two. But she's more friendly and has come to his side way more often than not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she showed up when he texted her 911.
Yeah. Is she... I'm just curious where it goes. And I know we didn't talk about her a lot.
Yeah, she's like had like one of the bigger roles in the season, but also really hasn't done anything so far.
Yeah.
Aside from just be there.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of seems like the glue trying to hold everybody together.
It seems like that, or Economos himself is all weirdly the glue, even though he's on the antagonist side, at least like for the story. So I don't know. It's interesting. All right. Should we, unless you have anything else to say, I kind of wanted to get on record what I want my DCU Batman to look like. I talked to you about this because you asked the question and I didn't have a good answer for you. How do you want the DCU Batman to be? I will say this on record. I would not hate Robert Pattinson Batman being in this universe. I wouldn't hate it. That being said, I want James Gunn to pick me a Batman. I want there to be a difference. I want that Batman story to be its own thing in the finish up.
Mm-hmm.
This Batman, I want it to be different, and I want it to be a James Gunn style Batman. And I think
I want something a little campier.
I want comic booky.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I would do if I was the person in James Gunn ear, I'd be one, you're directing Batman. There's no one else that's directing it. It's you.
Mm.
We're not doing dark Batman. Batman's dark. Don't get me wrong.
He's dark on his own. Yeah.
But we're not doing dark Batman. In this story, we're going to change it up. This is my pitch. We're going to make Batman happy. The whole goal of this movie is to end with Batman smiling. It's something that's never been done before because it's always focused on sad Batman. Now, normally in a story, you want to make your characters miserable. Conflict is what's interesting. You don't make your characters happy. You don't give them power trips. Their flaws, their failures, it's like the most interesting part of building a story. But for Batman, his default is tragedy. His default is trauma. His default is isolating to himself. So if he builds a world where the people around him are safe, are happy, and are healthy, that would conflict with them a lot. And I really love that concept because what James Gunn wants, the Brave and the Bold, is a Damian Wayne Robin. The only way you can do a Damian Robin properly based on the comics is to have a Batman family that's already established.
Yep.
And the way I would do this is you have Dick Grayson's Robin. He's moved on to Titans. They're already working on a Titans project. Maybe he's Nightwing. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's about to come in, and maybe that's his story. He's trying to figure out what to do next. You have the Robin. The current Robin is Jason Todd.
Mm-hmm.
You have Robin in training Tim Drake, who just found out about Bruce. And then out of nowhere, Damian shows up. And Barbara's there too, but there's a weird conflict of interest with James Gordon and it being her daughter. I like the idea of just it being a Bat family film. And the idea of Damian Wayne having to decide whether or not to be like his family or his other family. Do you be like Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul? I'm like back and forth on which one's right. Brandon, please correct me.
Ra's.
Ra's al Ghul, not Ra's. Ra's. Mm. And I like the whole setup was that I have in my head is the first opening act is we see this young brunette boy training with this girl, and they're doing this really
walking out of a theater with his parents.
No, in
a dark alleyway.
No. He's like 15. He's training with this girl, and it's this harsh training. And then we get in like 20, 30 years in the future. It's Damian Wayne
doing the same thing.
Doing the same thing, except for a girl training him. It's his mom. And so we get the origin of Damian Wayne, and then the first act is watching the Bat Family do their thing. And this is where it's a James Gunn film. You have it, it's fun, it's actiony, it's campy, but Batman's still like, the entire time. And his struggle is that he wants to push everybody away, but everybody keeps bringing him in, and he's becoming happy. And so I like just the idea of like this family working together and becoming whole, and it ends, the last scene is Bruce smiling, looking at his family. And the biggest, like, probably the biggest character in the film would be Damian. Like, it would follow him. But that's how I would do it. It's Bat Family, it's James Gunn style, where it's a group aspect rather than just Batman. And I think that would work. Whereas if you had The Batman Part 2, even if you bring Dick Grayson into the fold, which is rumored in that movie, you get two different styles. You get a Batman-Robin focused film, then you have a Bat Family film. And I think I said that when you asked it. How would you do it with Bat Family?
And I think I pretty much agree with that, because I think you have two choices. You either start Batman on his own, or you jump way to the end of it, because there's no way you're going to get enough time to properly introduce every member of the Bat Family and go
it,
through.
Do it 10 years in. Make him in his 30s.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but like, for as far as like movie wise goes,
yeah,
we're not going to get like a solo movie of Batman and then a movie of him meeting Dick Grayson, and then the next one has Jason Todd. Like, that would be terrible.
We don't need that. We already have it with the Batman.
Yeah. So the only thing I would really change for your pitch is, instead of Jason Todd being Robin, I would have him be Red Hood and have Tim Drake be Robin.
Well, and here's the thing. This is, I don't mind that at all either. Like, if James Gunn is like, okay, it's Tim Drake's the Robin and Damian Wayne is, I wouldn't mind it, because it might be too many characters. The reason why I like the Jason Todd being the Robin aspect is you're still focusing on like the beginning aspects that we haven't really touched upon, which is like Bruce getting really hard on Dick when he didn't have to be, because Dick is amazing athlete, whereas Jason is an amazing athlete and is often like more loose with Jason. And I would love to see that dynamic. But also, the next film is where you can just tear that family apart and put Bruce into that isolation and put him in the conflict where you have Jason die. And the second film could be like Under the Red Hood. So that's like, that's why I would do it that way. But I wouldn't mind if it's a Tim Drake Robin and Jason Todd's already dead.
Or even already out as Red Hood. Like, why do we have to do the whole deaths in the family storyline or whatever anyways? Let's get new stories instead of just retreading the iconic storylines that everyone knows already.
I mean, agreed. I'm just saying, like, that's how I would approach it. And I think
for the most part, I 100% agree with you. I think let's go full in Bat Family.
Make them
happy.
Let's
get right to it. Yeah. Let's get right to it.
And show, rip it apart.
Yeah. Show something completely different for Batman that we've never seen. I mean, we had, I guess, the closest, what, Batman and Robin with Batgirl in it, too.
Oh, yeah, Batman and Robin, that movie.
Yeah. But it wasn't, I guess she wasn't technically Batgirl. She was, because she was Alfred's daughter.
Alfred's daughter, so she wasn't like the classic Batgirl. Plus, Dick Grayson in that movie wasn't really classic Dick Grayson.
Yeah, he was more, I guess, like, I feel like his attitude was more Jason Todd.
Yeah.
Trying to be cool, even though he had, like, the Dick Grayson background.
Yeah, it's like that edginess of the 90s. So, I mean, that's how I would do it. That's how I would pitch Batman to James Gunn. I'm like, make him happy, make it a Batman film, you direct it, because I don't think anyone else is going to hit your style, and I think you could really make this movie funny.
So, who's the antagonist in it, then?
I think because it had, if it's Damian Wayne Red.
It's got to be the
Lady Shiva.
League of Assassins.
Lady Shiva.
Okay.
I wouldn't want Ra's al Ghul or Talia to be the villain, because we've seen it already. But I also feel like it would be too on the nose. I think Court of Owls would be too much. That would be another villain. But I think I think Lady Shiva being like an alternative version of
the League of Shadows, kind of like representing them.
Yeah. And maybe like it is actually they're working for the League of Shadows, but that's like the main villain.
Yeah. I think that that'd be good. Somebody, because that's kind of on that line still. You don't want like the Joker or something in a movie like that.
I think
maybe like a cameo.
The first scene, the first action scene, I would want Damian and Talia to watch the Bat Family in action, like behind the scenes. And there, like, I would want a team villain. of sorts. So Joker and Harley would work. Joker, mm-hmm. Harley, and like the henchmen, the Bat family has to take them out. That would be fucking fun. Like, yeah. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Mr. Freeze would be another one that I think would be like a group team up. Clayface potentially could be too.
I don't think we'll see Clayface in it. He's not gotten enough.
No, but like Clayface would be good because he's actually part of the Bat family in the comic books. So like that would be an interesting villain to tackle.
Clayface is part of the Bat family?
Yep.
Since when?
5-6 years ago. Yeah, he was
he was always a villain that never really had to be a villain. He was just an actor that got real fed up with not liking him.
There was multiple versions of it, and I think this is the Bastille version of it.
Okay.
So, yeah, and that's another. You could also do maybe Lady Shiva the first time. I don't know. There's a lot of different people to choose from. It could be more of a Bat family villain or think of like the Hive, like the Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Like those could be villains.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm indifferent on like who the villain would be, at least for the beginning or what cameos. But I think like at the end, Lady Shiva makes the most sense.
Yeah. I think that tracks.
Yeah. So that's how I would do it. All right. Yeah. That's how I would do Batman. But I keep hearing the rumors of Robert Pattinson.
Yeah. And I'm like, I hope not.
I'm like,
he just doesn't fit. He doesn't. I'd be okay if they do like a real tonal shift. Like, I guess if they do decide to go down that dark mm-hmm. Batman route, like I'm still here for it to see what James Gunn does with it. But I don't think the Robert Pattinson Batman fits into this world, this DCU that we've seen so far, like at all.
I agree, but I also, if James Gunn said we're doing it, I would be like, he's the only one that I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'm in. I don't know how you're going to do it.
One thing that I'll give Ben Affleck, because I did not like him as Batman very much at all, is that he had the build for Batman.
He did. Oh, yeah.
And that is the Batman I want. I want the big, burly, you know, massive Batman, not the more Robert Pattinson style. Yeah.
I like the physicality of Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not complaining about it. It's a choice.
Yeah,
it's but I must much prefer that. That style mm-hmm. of Batman that, like, we saw in the Creature Commandos cameo, you know, the big.
You want the thick with two C's Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
You want thick Batman.
Yeah.
I don't
like the new absolute Batman. I don't know if you've seen him at all, but he is a unit as well. He looks like a fridge. I like that Batman.
You want, what's his name? Alan Richardson Batman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you want that frame?
That is a casting that I would be here for.
What about Jensen Ackles?
Casting that I would be 100% that is my dream casting for Batman, to be honest.
Can I call him Ackles the entire time?
If that gets him to be Batman, then yes.
It's fair. I don't know how I feel about him, though.
I think you saw he got beefed for The Boys, even though he's not quite that size, just because I think he's kind of a shorter guy in general, so he's not quite that big, but I would be willing, because I think... I don't know. He's just one of my favorite actors. I think he's underrated, and I think he could crush Batman.
It's also
like a dream of his to play Batman. So
true.
Like that fits into everything that I want for the person playing Batman.
I forget the name of the guy that they think it is. It's an actor I'm not really familiar with. I think he's more of the smaller build, though. Mm-hmm. I will say this, and I feel like I'm a James Gunn simp when I say this, because I've been saying it all podcasts. Whatever he decides, I'm for.
Yeah, I mean, for the most, I'm not going to be like, I'm not watching Batman because it's not.
Here's a one.
Jensen Ackles.
Here's a rumor that I don't really care for, though.
Okay.
Chris Pratt is Batman.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has the build.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Chris Pratt fan these days for reasons. So.
Oh, you know, we're getting the politics.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Even though I did love him, I've lost quite a bit of respect for him. So
yeah.
I don't want him to be Batman.
I don't think he has the chops to be Batman.
No, I don't think so either. He plays that. He's too like goofy. Naturally goofy. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Batman needs to be somebody that can stay like stoic and can still like break, you know, some of those jokes once in a while and quips, but do it in a way that like maintains that like level. You know what I mean?
the animated Batman, Justice League Batman jokes.
Mm. Yeah, that, just like the quips that, like the smartass lines that he says. Yeah,
the dry smartass. Like, I'm trying to who. I don't even know who would play Batman. I don't have an actor in mind that like fits the build. That's where I'm just like, I'm just leaving I think the people
like
who know.
Physically, the closest one that I can think of would be like Alan Richardson.
Yeah.
And I would give him a shot because I think he's also like really evolved as an actor over the years, coming from Blue Mountain State, playing Thad as the biggest idiot in the world. To see him in, what is that, Reacher? Like, I haven't really watched the show, but I've seen bits and parts of it to where, like, I think he can play that more serious side.
He was also, I forget what his name was. He was Aquaman at one point. He was okay in that role. He was the Hawk guy from Titans, and he was actually probably one of the better.
Oh, yeah. That was, he played one of the better, just, like, actors in that show, period.
That show sucked.
I don't think I ever finished it, but Hawk and Dove.
Hawk and Dove, yes. He was really good at Hawk. I think he could pull off Batman. I don't think he is. And I think that Alan Richardson said he's not Batman. I think James Gunn's like, he has a role. We're not going to say it yet. I think it's going to be like David Corden's sweat. Where it's an actor that we're not really familiar with, but it nails it. And that's why I'm like, I'm not going to fan cast it. I think James Gunn's going to do well. Because I can't think of a casting that I disagreed with.
Yeah. Chris Pratt.
As Star-Lord?
No, as Batman.
Well, yeah, that would be.
Yeah. Okay, you're saying past casting that you would disagree with. Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's like any casting that I'm just like, eh. Like, even when Dave Bautista, did you know he was supposed to be Peacemaker originally?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That role was made for him, and he turned it down because it wasn't making a lot of money in Suicide Squad. So he was supposed to be Peacemaker, but I'm happy it went to John Cena. And John Cena is like, I'm not first choice, but he grew to love me. And like, because he loved me so much, he broke his rule to bring me back to a show.
Twice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Batista could definitely have a role in the DCU now. Cause I think he said he was done, that he was leaving with James Gunn. Right.
I think
Guardians, that he wasn't going to do it anymore.
Yeah, I think he said he was just done doing Guardians. Even in Guardians 3, he was never shirtless because he just doesn't want to do the makeup anymore for Drax. And I think, and like when I was watching Guardians 3 and he was just, never took a shirt off, it was like, okay, he's done. He's stating he's done. He wants to be done. But I think he would do a bigger role. I don't know what that role would be.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I could
definitely see a blank. I do like Batista. I think he's a fun actor.
He is. He would be a good Bane.
Yeah.
Like, I think Bane would be a good role for him. Yeah.
You know, he was in Smallville. Played a villain in Smallville.
Batista was?
Yeah.
What did he play?
I think he was like some sort of alien. Okay. I don't remember who. Just like a generic villain, but he was in an episode of Smallville and he goes toe-to-toe with Tom Welling. That was before he was like an actor. Nice. And they just wanted like wrestlers because they were so big.
Yeah.
And, they looked the part.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So he's technically been in the DCU before. Well, not this DCU, but in DC.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe James Gunn will add it to his DCU. Maybe he'll add the Arrowverse to the DCU too. Who knows?
Well, he has to do, if he ties even like a small part of any part of the Arrowverse, then that ties everything in.
Because that's fair.
Smallville is part of the Arrowverse.
That's fair. Did you see the Stephen Amell interview where he was like pissed off that Peacemaker called him out?
Yeah, I think I did see that.
It's just like all that work, 8 seasons, 20 episodes each. I had to physically all do all that work. And I'm like, you know what? Fair. You did a lot of fucking work. You deserve your props. But also, I don't want you as Green Arrow anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like mad respect for him for that show. I want a comic accurate or a comic version of.
Yeah, I want the mustache. That's what I want. The little handlebar.
I want him to be blonde.
Mustache. Yeah, that too. That being said, I would be totally fine with Stephen Amell playing somebody else because I do like him as an actor.
Oh, yeah. Maybe not a character that needs a lot of range. He struggles with range.
Yeah. I mean, give him, play to his strengths.
He's not Casey Jones, people.
Yeah.
he did not feel like Casey Jones at all. I'm just like, man, you're just like a slightly tougher Stephen Amell in this role.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on rumor or casting.
No, I think everything is so in flux right now. It's hard to
I'm excited speculate. For this universe, yeah. man. This is like how I felt about the MCU 10 years ago when we had these conversations of where it's going to go. I'm just excited. And like it feels like it's in good hands. Whereas like Marvel, it's in so many hands that I'm like, I don't trust it going to be good. Like I'm certain some movies are going to be good in the future. But it's not like every movie I'm like, all right, I'm ready for this. James Gunn's DCU so far, I'm just like, I'm excited for every little project.
Right.
Creatures Commandos, excited for it. It was great. Superman. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was very much into it. Peacemaker. We shouldn't be this hyped for the show.
Right.
But we are. It's good. So, and then 2026, we have Supergirl. We have, why am I blanking? Not Sandman. Clayface.
Supergirl. We just talked about him.
Clayface. I think there's another one. But yeah, I'm excited for it. And then 2027, Man of Tomorrow. Whatever. Probably Brainiac is the villain. We'll see. All right. Well, this is it. Meme. Thank you. Oh, we should do a little bit plug. The Bleak is coming soon at some points. That's something we got to talk about.
Yes.
The Bleak. Roll for the end. The Bleak. First episode at some point in the near, I would say month or so. We got to figure out
absolutely,
a couple other sessions. But check it out. It's our D&D podcast group that we're doing. Roll for the end. DMT, Tom Chatfield. Tom, nerdier than you are, Chatfield, is our dungeon master. We have... Meme here, we have me, we have Donald, we have new guy Tony, and then Mike the Mike guy, for those who are fans of the show, he's been on before too. We're all doing a show together. Hopefully that'll be coming out in a month or so. All right, thank you, Meme. This is your host Jake Sherbing signing off.
All right.